go to Isaiah 61, and I mean that. You guys laughing makes me feel like y'all all know something. Maybe like I didn't tell you what right book to go to this morning. Well, I do apologize for that. It was just one page over to 119. 1 Kings 19. Yeah, Melissa told me when I was at home, and I was hanging on this real sliver of hope that it was her that was wrong. I got here, nobody had said nothing. I was like, maybe she was wrong. And then somebody else let it out, and then somebody else let it out. Yeah. I've got a severe case of ADHD sometimes, and my mind will run faster than my body will. So let's go to Isaiah 61. And I'm going to make sure we're there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Is that what y'all are seeing? Amen. I'm hearing pages turn. I'm going to be cautious. No, I'm just kidding. Isaiah. This is the account that Isaiah, the prophet, got from God, amen, to help people that were going through the same things that the world was changing. They needed the God. They needed good news. But he was also pointing to Jesus. Down 800 to 1,000 years for the fulfilling of this prophecy right here. This is a messianic prophecy from God to Isaiah that was totally, totally relevant in his day. Amen? But pointing towards Jesus who would come anywhere from 800 to 1,000 years later. Amen? And fulfill this prophecy. Then ultimately Jesus Christ would come and say, I fulfilled it, then I'm going to pass it on to the New Testament church. I hope if you don't get anything out of this message tonight other than this, the New Testament church, all it is a fulfilling of Jesus Christ's ministry on the face of this planet. It was a handoff. It's the same ministry Jesus started. He just turned it over to the church. That's what the modern church is all about. Have some of us lost our way? Have we kind of missed the goal? Yeah, absolutely. But in God's eyes, that has never changed. Do you know the true church literally still exists? It's Spirit-filled believers who make up the body of Christ who is still doing exactly what God wants them to do. Amen? And now, you can't see it from some of the different things, maybe the prosperity preaching or some messages that are just to make you feel good and go home motivated. But I'm going to be honest with you. There are people out there who are filled with the Spirit of God, ready to present the gospel and take the gospel to every living creature and see them saved and born again, waiting for God to come. And when that day comes, God will pull this church out of this world. Is that not good? I know Jody just said, every once in a while you got to go back, that when you got saved, God puts you in the church. You are a part of a building. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. And we are the building blocks. Hallelujah. I mean, man, there's not going to be one building in heaven. We are it. Man, I'm glad. Amen. We're gonna in a twinkling of an eye, in a shout, we are gonna put, man, those that are in the ground will go before us, and then this corruption will be put off, and incorruption will be put on. Man, in a twinkle, you can't even blink fast as a twinkle. Hey, man, I don't know how he's gonna do it. I weighed 200 and some odd pounds, And I know some of you are lighter than that, and you might think you're going, but we're all, nope, I don't know, man. That just excites me to no end. But let's get into this. I want to preach it from Isaiah 61 just for a moment. There's some things I really want you to see here, and then we're going to go somewhere else. Man, every once in a while you need to look at this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, or the poor. Why does it say good tidings, good news, to the poor? Because guess what? The poor are more readily to accept Jesus Christ than any other group on the face of the planet. We think it's quite the opposite in modern world today. We think that God's going to go get a bunch of people that are wealthy and blessed, and guess what? He's going to reach out to them because he'll need them to do that. God doesn't need anything other than willingness. Amen? But I'll tell you like this. If you go to a people who are poor and destitute and without, and you share the gospel to them, they will almost rip your arm off to take it. Because they don't have any good news. They're walking miles for water. They're begging for food. They're barely clothed. They're barely shoed. They barely got houses to live in. And guess what? If somebody come and said, I've got good news for you. There's somebody who loved you more than they loved anybody in the world and died for your sins, and he wants to save you if you'll repent. You know what they'll say? Give it to me. I'll take it. Okay, some of y'all are looking skeptical at me. You say, well, how do you know that's real here in America? Because do you know what they call the Bible Belt of the United States of America? Well, I hope so, because you live in it. And if you really want to be like exact about it, they call Cleveland, Tennessee and Chattanooga and the surrounding areas the buckle. Amen? For a long time, all the headquarters for the Church of God and the Baptist were in Cleveland, Tennessee, Chattanooga area. Man, you're telling the truth. That would make it the buckle. Amen? But at one time in our history, the South was the poorest region in the world. We were full of slaves. We were full of people who came and found it. I'm preaching to us now, who got in little mountainous areas and lived and scratched out an existence, amen, in rural areas. And people would go and share the gospel, and they would say, yes. Now, 2019, we're starting to act like the rest of the world, unfortunately, because we're as blessed as they are, and we've forgotten where we've came from. That's why now our kids, we're sharing the gospel with them, and they really don't even know what it is. Now, Courtney's 21, right? 21 going 22? All right, good. Close enough. I remember when she was like 3 or 4 years old, she had gotten into some of my Gideon Bibles, and she took them on the school bus. And I thought, man, that was cool. I hope she don't get through out of school, right? But guess what? Some of them dropped and fell on the bus, and some of the kids picked them up. And every kid to a person asked her, what are these? Hey, man, that's 19 years ago. What's a Bible? Did you think in your lifetime there would be people in the United States who didn't know what a Bible was? I mean, I thought that's automatic, right? Man, we can get a Bible. Listen, right now, I guarantee you, if we were really about our business, we could all hustle out of here and rustle up about 100 Bibles. Think so? If you're really determined, you say, I'm going to try to get as many Bibles as I can within the next 24 hours, I guarantee you, every person in this room, we could rustle up about 100 Bibles apiece. Man, how accountable are we going to be for that? Amen? We got tons of Bibles and tons of stuff, but we know less about God today than we ever have. We've got a generation that knows less about God than we ever have. And that's scary. And you know what it comes down to? It's not a thing about knowledge. It's not a thing about how smart you can be. It's the willingness to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something that can bind up your broken heart. Okay, let me break it down this way. There is something that can heal your broken heart. Is there anybody in here who's had a broken heart healed by God? I'm asking you, at one point in your life, have you ever been in a situation you thought, I am never going to be the same, I'm never going to be whole, I'm never going to be well, and all of a sudden God came in and started mending that broken place? Now, you might not be the same, but you never thought you was going to be whole again. Because He can do it. We can preach about somebody, even when we're hurting, about somebody who can heal that brokenheartedness. And we're living in a world today, friend, and you know this, there are people, the reason some of the stuff that's going on in this world is because people have been hurt so bad and they don't know how to get it healed. They go to everything in the world to heal it, but they never go to the one because nobody's telling them there's somebody who can fix that hurt. Because He fixed my hurt. Amen. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. How many of you have been set free? When I was asking, there's a freedom in Christ. I don't know about you, but that's one of the greatest things about being saved is being free. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Have you ever had some doors open to you when you were bound to things? Man, I never thought in my lifetime there would be times where I would be free of some of the things that were going on in my life. And then when God came along, the door opened up for Him. Amen? Listen to this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Man, this is so amazing because Isaiah said, right now is the acceptable time. Amen? I think I said it this morning. Right now is the time. Amen? Today's the day of salvation, right? That's 3,000 years ago. He was saying, hey, today, right now is the time. God's ready for you right now. Amen? If you want to come, He's ready for you. Ain't much changed in 3,000 years, have they? God still wants to save people. He still wants to change people. He still wants people to come to Him by faith, repent of their sins. Amen? And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Let's go back and sort of slow that down in verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Whew. And you're sitting there thinking, man, why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? Why this diagnosis? Why this? Why are my kids acting like this? Why? And you start mourning. But then all of a sudden it reminds you that, guess what? God was saying this 3,000 years ago. There will be a day that I come back and I do the reckoning. Listen, and there's going to be a time when we change this whole thing. Y'all, I don't know if y'all like this kind of stuff, but one day this world that's upside down now, God turns it all the way over. And right is right and wrong is wrong. Up is up and down is down. Righteous is righteous and unrighteous is unrighteous. The ones that are wicked will be put in a place and the ones that are righteous will be put in a place. And that's God. Amen? Because I know I'm in a time right now. I'm sitting there going, what's right and what's wrong anymore? Amen? Y'all there? What's this? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might fulfill, that they might be called trees of righteousness and planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Has God ever done that for you? Has He ever changed your garments? You were upset and mourning, and all of a sudden He gave you joy? Now listen, I'm not preaching to something crap. I'm talking about when you should have been down, you were up. When you should have, I mean, somebody told me this morning, I wish I could remember who it was, but I mean, I have been in a place where all of a sudden you're mourning and you're grieving and you're broken, but then all of a sudden God shows up more in that period than He did when you were doing well. It's almost like He sits down right there with you, amen? He is a very present help in the time of trouble. God resides in trouble. Man, you get in trouble and He shows up. He's there anyway, but guess what? He makes Himself known. And I mean, you can't explain. I can't tell people. You can't tell people what it, man, all of a sudden I feel this joy building up. And you almost feel aggravated. You're like, you almost feel guilt. Can I say guilty? Because there was times, I mean, just in the last few weeks, where I'm sitting there smiling and laughing, and you're like, man, I feel kind of guilty, but at the same time, I'm like, that's from God. There's a joy in this. It's not the same. And then, all of a sudden, you can go from mourning to praise. Words of, I don't know why. I don't know why. This ain't fair. Why is this happening? To, God, I want to glorify you. It's your will, not mine. God, you knew. You've got a plan. God, you do what you must do. If you're reaching people, that's fine. You know what? His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. Sometimes you ever do that? I hope I don't wear y'all out tonight. But you ever do that? You ever get down and try to say things? Well, God's doing this because of this. And he's doing this because he's doing God. We're playing checkers and God's playing chess. God's up there going, no. No. You just trust me. You just obey me. You put your faith in me. I'm working every. What is God working? Everything to your good. Those that are called according to his purpose. Pray. If he's working at all the good, then guess what? Just stand in it, worship in it, and if you get to that place and say, praise God, he's working some stuff out. Amen? Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 4. And I do mean that one too. Luke chapter 4. In verse 16, Luke 4:16, and it'll start out something like this. And he came to Nazareth. Y'all seeing that? I'll give you time. We're not in a hurry. We get done early on Sunday night anyway. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth. Y'all see it? Where he was brought. Now I'm gonna have to go back and do some research on this verse. Because I wasn't going to put this in there, but I read it a couple of times over throughout the day. I knew where I was going in the second part of this, but I read this a couple of times. I want y'all to see this. I've never seen this before, and I'm going to go study. I'm not going to tell you that I know it, but look at this real quick with me. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Look, listen to this right here. And his custom was, a custom doesn't happen one time, does it? It doesn't happen two times. A custom is something you do regularly or yearly or... Right? Now listen. Was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I'm being honest with you. That one was like a little old bonus there when I was going over it this evening and I looked up and I seen it and I'm like, I have never seen that before. I'm wondering if that was, he got up when he lived there and would read and I'm sitting there going, my goodness, I wonder how long he did that. Jesus would get up in the synagogue and read. I wonder how many years those people had him and they didn't even realize that God was standing there reading to them. Ain't that just, hey, we'll do some research, but that's pretty neat. I'll go back and study it and make sure we're not some heretics or nothing. But I think that's pretty cool. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look at this. Jesus went into the... Hey, will you hand me the scroll of Isaiah? Where? That spot that's written about me. I'm fulfilling this. Amen? Are y'all good? I'm fulfilling this. This is God written to Isaiah about Jesus, and this Jesus, God in the flesh, saying, hand me the scroll from about 800 to 1,000 years ago that I said I was going to do and fulfill this. Can you hand it to me where I can just show you who I am? Boy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Does it make sense now? Ain't that cool? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Not good tidings. Now it has a title. Amen? Good tidings, good news is the gospel. But now the gospel is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The good, God, I wish y'all, if we just get the Holy Spirit just one time and just shout. So, ain't that cool? The good tidings was the one who would fulfill the gospel, who is Jesus Christ. He's coming 800 to 1,000 years prior. He's come, and there is good news because he will die on a cross for your sins. Man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He does that still. That's one operation of God. Y'all just stay with me. Y'all good? Y'all going to be good? When Jesus come up on brokenhearted people, he healed them. Amen? They brought one woman caught in the very act of adultery. Amen? You don't get no more brokenhearted than being exposed in your sin in a public setting and having your life ruined and ultimately about to be put to death. You're heartbroken. When they cast her out there, there was one who stood and said, hey, the ones without sin cast the first stones. Amen? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He started mending a heart before, hey, this was God mending hearts. Amen? He started preaching the gospel, casting out devils, casting out demons, preaching Jesus, preaching to the poor. Amen? And guess what? Lives were changed. He's the walking, talking scripture. He is the walking, talking word. He was setting people free. Hallelujah. Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives. Captives to what? Everything. Have you ever been captive in here to anything? Jesus can set you free. He was setting demonic people free. There was a demon-possessed man who ran down the... at one point, if you read the scriptures, it's so cool. He was going down the streets, and he was casting devils out. And as the devils were coming out, he would seal their mouths. He would say, shut up. I'd like to tell the devil to shut up too. Amen? He was saying, shut up. Because when they were coming out, they were going, Jesus. They recognized him. It's not our time. Why are you doing this? He's like, shut your mouth. It ain't time yet. Ain't that amazing? Devils can, they know who God is. They can speak for God, but a lot of times we'll be quiet. So he was setting the captive free. Amen? And he recovered And recovering of the sight of the blind. Amen? And we always think, blind Bartimaeus, my favorite, and you know it is, my favorite is the one where they passed by and all the apostles and disciples looked at him and said, who sinned, his mom or daddy? Don't we do that? Who messed up? Amen? We look at some people, we go, who messed up? Jesus said, nobody messed up. He was born this way, he was made this way for me to get glory out of his life. Have you know? You know, sometimes you're just a problem for God to fix, for him to get glory out of your life. It's my favorite place in the Bible because he makes dirt into eyeballs. Amen? Y'all know how he did it. I ain't going to do that again. But I like this. I like the fact when he slapped them new eyeballs in there, those new peepers, when he put them in there, people were looking at him going, I think it's him. We've never seen him with eyes before. Amen? He was born blind. We never seen him with good. But God made, listen, I don't want to preach this, I promise, but sometimes you just can't, when you get right there, you just can't help yourself. He just showed out being God. He made an organ, two of them, out of dirt and spit. Amen? Man, God can do good stuff with dirt. God. Amen? God. People say, well, I don't believe, we can do anything God could do. The scientists and this and that. Well, okay. Can you make a person? We can clone. Can you make one from dirt? Hey, can you make a pair of eyes with spittle? It just turns, put some dust in and go, spit in it and go ahead and make you some eyeball. Well, I can't do that. Yeah, no, God can though. Amen? You know, because from dust we came. Uh-oh, never mind. And dust will return. Amen? God says, all you are is dirt. Some of y'all are good-looking dirt. Amen. Sorry. We're just dirty people. Sorry, I can't help myself. Listen. To deliver the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. Hey, listen. It's one of the most, all the other stuff in time, I was like, yes. Out of my bondages, out of my sin, out of my thing. Yes. But liberty, man, I'm talking about sweet liberty. I am satisfied with who he is, and I'm satisfied with who I am. I don't have to be nothing for nobody. Amen? God's in me, and you know what? It's kind of like when he says, I grafted in those wild branches. People say, you don't belong. I know I don't belong. Hey, look, you don't look like church. I don't care. It don't matter. I'm like the guy who was laid lame outside the gate.
They should have made a wall. Y'all get that later.
He laid lame outside the gate. The gate has ways to look through it. He looked at her and he said, if I could ever get in, y'all are in trouble. Because I see how you do church, and I like to do it better. Amen?
And then one day, God healed him. He ran, he praised, he shouted. He done some stuff, and guess what? They were all like, who is that guy? He's the guy who was sitting outside the gate. He don't care if you like him or not. He don't care if you think he's doing too much. He was lame, now he's healed, and now he's well, and now he's going to do what he's going to do for God. That's our attitude. Amen? And then he crowns it off again. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Guys, I hate to wear you out about this, but God's been on me all week about this. I want to tell you this. We have a limited amount of time on the face of this planet. Don't waste what you have. Sow into people's lives. You can wrap the gospel in just about every conversation that you can. You can love people, be courteous and kind, and you can sow into their lives in all the time. You can do it. You don't have to beat nobody over. You ain't got to wrestle around. You can just work God in. If they eventually, you can work it in any way you can. Praise God. And listen, you'll think, well, I'm a failure. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. You didn't leave with them. The gospel does. I don't every Sunday if I leave here going, man, nobody did what I want to do. That ain't my job. My job is to give it to you. Your job is to give it to them. And if you do something with it, great. If they do something with it, great. If not, that ain't on us. But you know as well as I do, that's not how God works. If somebody sows the gospel seed into your life, you know how that works. That baby, it works on you. Until the next person, then it works on you double. And then it works on you, you got it. Are y'all good? Ain't that cool? How the gospel works, how Jesus did that? But let's go, just go a little bit further. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's go to one of the scariest chapters in the Bible. I'm kidding about that. Please don't leave here and say, preacher said this is a scary part of the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This ain't scary to me whatsoever, and it shouldn't be scary to you. Amen? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Are y'all there? Acts chapter 2, verse? Okay. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, that the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in their own language. Y'all good? Is that cool? That's never happened, and it'll never happen again. The day of Pentecost is when the church became the church. Amen? It's one of the most exciting times in the Bible. It's when the exchange. It is expedient for me to go away that you might receive the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen? When God said, I must go up where the Holy Ghost can come down. Amen? And listen to this. The Holy Ghost, the cloven tongues of fire, came into that room, and it sat down. The church was indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. It had to be this big of a moment for everybody to say, when the Old Testament, everybody said, that's God, fire and pillar by night. Fire by night, cloud by day. When Jesus came, he healed people, he set people free, he done that. That's got to be God. When the Holy Spirit came, when they came out of that upper room, they went, that's God. Because every person there, every tongue, Hebrew, Greek, any Latin, they were all there. And when they started speaking, they were going, that dude's preaching about Jesus. And the Latin dude beside him went, yeah, he is. And the Hebrew guy next to him went, y'all hearing what I'm hearing? Because I don't understand you, and I definitely don't understand that Latin dude. Y'all are real good in Latin, apparently. Right? I'm over here speaking Greek, and I can understand the Hebrew guy, but that Latin guy's out of control. But and all three of them are sitting there going, that dude's Jesus. Y'all hear this? He goes, first thing he says, they must have been drinking. I love what Peter says. It's early. I'm sorry. Sorry. That's in the Bible. You check it out for yourself. Amen? Golly. I don't know what I got with that doctrine right there, but anyway. The Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, all three the same. Now the church. Now he said, the Spirit of God is upon me. No. The New Testament church, the Spirit of God is in us. Amen? To what? To bring good tidings, to preach the gospel. Amen? To the brokenhearted, to the captive, to the blind, to the meek, the poor. Why? Because now, Jesus, we are the body of Christ. We are now the ones who go tell the good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the ones that are captive, amen, enslaved. And what do we say? How do we say it? Jesus can bind up your broken heart. He can save you. How do you know? He saved me. How did he break? My heart was broken. I was captive to sin. He said, I was blind in my sin. Amen? I was bound. I had no liberty or freedom. My sin had made me captive. Now he set me free. Amen? Y'all good? What's this? I want to show y'all one more verse. Y'all ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Look at this. I love this. Y'all good? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what he said. If you will accept Christ, this thing that we got in the upper room, you will be endowed with it, the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what? You will be called to do the same thing that Jesus did. The same mission, the same goal, the same reasons is because this world is lost and dying, and they need somebody to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do. Amen. God gave it to Isaiah. Isaiah handed it off to Jesus, and Jesus handed it off to the church, and we handed it off to the lost people of the world. And that's the way it works. Amen? And it's simple. Share your testimony, share Jesus, and watch people change. Let's all stand.